mics are hot. The mics are hot. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Hoosier Town Breakdown. It's January 4th, 2024, for those of you who are counting. This is Season 6, Episode 4. I'm Alan Platt, that is.
Happy New Year, Alan, and all my Hoosier faithful listeners. I'm Greg Nash.
Welcome to a new year.
Welcome, Alan. I hope your Christmas holidays were
fantastic.
Everything you wanted them to be.
Oh, they're great. They're great. Greg, let's just get right into it. Hoosier basketball, there are some things to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we left.
New year.
We left our friends here on the.
Similar issues.
On the cast. It was our last time together was December 14th, and we were making some projections for the upcoming next three games, which would be the end of the non-conference schedule. Morehead State came to Bloomington on December 19th, North Alabama on the 21st, and then Kennesaw State came in to end the year on December 29th. All three of those ending in victory, but not as easy as one would have expected, Greg.
No, there's never a dull moment with this team. There's always something exciting to keep the fans guessing. So, yeah, I think we predicted, you know, it wasn't a...
We predicted 3-0.
It wasn't a rousing, astonishing prediction, but we both predicted 3-0 to end the season, or to end the year, the calendar year.
Then OVC's juggernaut known as Morehead State came in, and they led the Hoosiers at halftime and almost put it on us. I think we were down, 14 maybe with 8 to go or something. I don't know. I can't even remember I think I've blocked it out. I've had some therapy and things have gotten better.
But some eggnog.
The Hoosiers pull out a victory 69-68 in a game that they absolutely could have dropped. I shared with our little text crew at one point with about 8 minutes to go, Morehead State was a 96.9% likelihood of victory
on
ESPN's tracker. So the Hoosiers did make quite a run. And what was it, 24 to – what was that run that got us back into that game?
Oh, you're talking about Morehead?
Yeah. I'm just asking you for numbers you don't have at the –
Yeah, I thought
at
you
fingertips.
I've got the run for the Kennesaw State game.
Okay, well, this might be a common theme that we're having to make runs to win games that we really should put away fairly easily. So let's just forget about Morehead State. But there was a significant, 20-0 run at some point.
Yeah, you're right.
And let the Hoosiers get back into that ball game and ultimately win at the buzzer. But nobody left happy. It was one of the times after a win that I felt relatively sick to my stomach. And North Alabama, the following game got us back on track. A fairly simple victory, although I think early on in the ball game, kind of back and forth. But the Hoosiers got separation and finished that game with an 83-66 win. And then Kennesaw State. Go ahead. Let's talk about that one.
Well, Kennesaw, on paper, that was projected and expected to be our most dominant win and our, as far as prediction and margin of victory, because Kennesaw State's power rankings are not very good, like 230 or something like that. So we were, I think we were fair by 12 or 13, and we started out hot. I mean, we've kind of had a few hot starts here recently. Mbako has gone off for three, several games. Obviously Auburn included, but we got off to a pretty good start. But Kennesaw kept fighting back, and we had a series of turnovers, and they just kept hanging around. Eventually, they were up by four with like 8 minutes to go. We're up by six, I believe, with 8 minutes to go, and then we went on a 21-4 run. And Malik Renew had like a game of his career.
Yeah. And we were without Khalil Ware, who was out with COVID, and obviously still out was Xavier Johnson. But Jordan Sparks came in and got the start. And
Peyton Sparks?
Jordan Sparks, I think, is a singer from American Idol.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peyton Sparks, or maybe his cousin Jordan.
Maybe you're thinking of Jordan Holes on the,
maybe.
The sideline.
Peyton Sparks came in, number 24. Got to flex the muscle a little bit in that game. Had a couple of nice buckets. But we clearly missed wear as the time would wear on.
Yeah, and we just didn't have the wherewithal to overcome his absence entirely.
But where are we going here?
Until the very end. But, you know, we scored a Hunsky, and Happy New Year, you know. We were feeling semi-okay. So then, you know, we go into last night's game against Nebraska, the Huskers, in Lincoln. We hadn't lost to Nebraska since the 2017-2018 season. I think that was the first time. And I think we'd won 7 straight games against them, I believe. And
yeah, they had, since 2017, the Hoosiers have won 7 in a row against Nebraska, both at Assembly Hall and in at Nebraska. And, you know, Fred Hoiberg has always had, I will say, he's one of those coaches. I don't dislike the guy, but he always has a look of self-satisfaction on his face that just drives me bonkers. But he was able to be quite satisfied with this game. From the start, Greg, you know, we come out, again, we hit early shots. The Hoosiers have been good this year at getting going. And Bako hits a shot. You know, we had some nice ball movement. Things look good, although we weren't stopping them at the other end, so they were matching us shot for shot. And I thought this was going to be one of those games that might, you know, go the distance, but that we'd be able to, you know, be able to be in it at the end and have an opportunity for victory. And it really went south for a number of reasons.
Yeah, I think even you mentioned the start and having X back in the lineup, I thought was exciting because he, just to get him back in the flow, just to get acclimated to him being back in the lineup again and running the point, I think is important for this team as we attempt to make a run here toward the second half of the season. And initially, he did a few things that kind of remind you of why we need him. You know, he's able to blow by defenders with ease for the most part. He was finding Khalil on a couple dump offs and even my son Cooper, who was watching the game with me, and he said, "Yeah, I can see now why, you know, once you see him out there playing again, you're like, okay, I see what we miss when he's not there."
Sure.
And you know, not that Cups wasn't a solid backup plan, but there's certain things that X can do that Cups can't. Now, X did have 4 turnovers in the first half, and so things got a little sloppy, and he led the way with that. And then
3 personal fouls, was able to make 3 assists, but he was 0-for-3 from the floor. He just didn't look good. You're going to have some of those to knock off the rust.
You got 2 senior guards.
It was unfortunate it happened in a game we were already struggling everywhere else on the court.
Yeah. Two senior guards with 6 turnovers combined in the first half, I think 9 combined for the game. But even with the early foul trouble, with so frustrating that second foul call on Mbako where the guy shoved off.
Yeah, that was just clearly wrong. And the camera angle had the angle the ref didn't. Although the ref on the far right side of the court as facing the Hoosiers basket, I don't know why he didn't intervene because he seemed to have an angle, but it was just a clear push off. And that took Mbako out of the game with 2 fouls. As we know, Woody typically will take a player out and they might not get back on the court. Mbako did, but only for a couple minutes, but really took him out of the flow of the game. And we really needed him in this game because let me say that. That hurt us. I think that hurt us to start of the game and really hurt throughout the first half. I also thought the whistle through the first half really changed the flow of the game and really probably put the game in favor of Nebraska because we could not get anything rolling. We really couldn't get transition. A lot of the fouls were slowing the ball game up. They were getting to the free throw line a lot, and they did well at the free throw line. Renew also went out with 2 fouls. And so Khalil Ware, who was now back from COVID, had to be a lot more cautious because he had to stay in the game. He looked tired. I think coming back, that probably just a tough comeback from an illness. That would tell me that when he had COVID, he probably had probably a pretty good bout with it because he just looked tired, but he did as much. He had a double-double.
Yeah. If without him, as we've said a lot of games this year, we're in real trouble, but he just did a lot of things. You're like, not many guys can do that. And he can. And he was relied on even more heavily than we would have liked. Cause without Renew, that takes, the defense can focus more on Ware. And so the timing of those two players, Mbako and Renew being in foul trouble, really hurt. And, you know, there's been some criticism and a lot of coaches have this philosophy. As soon as you get that second foul, automatically go to the bench. And I think in a game like last night, it really hurt us and set us back. We've seen dank games like that where Woodson, it's like an automatic, pulling a player from the game after two fouls. And then when you look at the box score at the end of the game, that player still only has two fouls for the game, or maybe three.
He did get McKenzie back in a little bit with about 4 minutes to go, but he was obviously very guarded on how he was going to play. He just looked like he was just trying to steal some minutes and be in there without picking up that third foul. But I really wish that Woodson would consider bringing them back in with, 9 to 10 minutes left and maybe try to get them in the middle there in a stanza before the 8 minute timeout. And then maybe get them in a little bit toward the end of the half, just to keep the Hoosiers in touch with the team that was just continuing to have an answer for everything that we were able to do. One thing I wanted to mention, Greg, I hear and see online a lot of complaints about, the Hoosiers just don't shoot enough threes. And I think there was something to that. We've talked about that. But IU shot 18 threes in this ball game and made nine. And I realize a few of those were probably late in the game when it was out of reach. But the truth of the matter is, shooting about 33%, they would have had to shot a heck of a lot of threes to even be close in this ball game where we lose by 16. I just don't think that's the difference. The difference in the game to me was the turnovers and the points off turnovers. The Hoosiers continue to try to make passes that weren't there. They weren't disciplined about who they were passing to or when they were passing. They made kind of soft passes or sloppy passes. And these were Xavier Johnson, Trey Galloway. I mean, players that you expect to do a good job of handling the ball and handling the pressure on the road. This is really our second true road game of the year. Even though we're deep into the season, we've only been at Michigan. Everything else was a neutral site, I believe. I don't think we had any other true road games. No. And they played like it. They played like a team that is younger than they are. At this point, with two starting guards that are seniors, there's no excuse for that. I didn't think the coaching staff helped a whole lot either. I don't think that they made good substitutions. I didn't understand why Caleb Banks continued to come in and hurt us and not give us anything. I think that it was kind of a failure at almost every point in the program, from the bench to the coaches on the bench and the players on the bench, the starters. I would probably leave Khalil Ware out of that just because I think he did what he could do. But and really, I'll say Gabe Cupps played 26 minutes. No turnovers again for a freshman, and now he got burned on a number of defensive plays, but the guy continues to hustle and continues to give a lot of effort. Tominaga put a shot right in his eye, but Tominaga was hitting, and that's what he's there for. I mean, he is a volume shooter, and if he gets hot, he's good, and he plays. I think I mentioned to you or somebody today that he plays with such joy, it kind of is infective for the rest of the team. And he was hot. His parents were in town from Japan, and it was just a night that he showed why he's a Big Ten starting guard.
Yeah, the stage was set for him to have a big night, and Nebraska just looked they looked more connected, more locked in. They were getting the loose balls, and I think one of the things we cited with this team early on is, where would the on-court leadership come from? Last year it was clearly Trace and even Race. They were really good on-court leaders that the team trusted. And we talked about this year, can X be that guy? Could you really trust him? Malik you know, where. So you got basically a situation where it's like, where's the on-court leadership going to come from? And I think that's very evident that we don't have a proven leader on the court to, or that true go-to. I mean, last year you could go to, you had an All-American center, and then you had a lottery pick, or
Shafino,
lottery pick.
Yeah.
So you have a lottery pick point guard, All-American center. You can figure some things out.
Yeah, sure.
In certain games. This year, you've got Renew and Ware, who are still sophomores, who are still learning what it's like to be the focal point of opposing teams' defenses. They're facing double teams. They're facing a lot of junk looks. And
that was,
you've got to grow through that.
They really junked it up. I mean, so the post was almost always doubled. There was they were fronting the post a lot, and it was junked up in there. And so every time Renew started, I think Renew got his first little, you know, move to the middle and baby hook with like 2 minutes left in the second half when the game was over. That was the first time he got to that you know, to the ball in that position. And it was a shame because it's so pure. He's going to score 80% of the time he gets in that position. But he and Ware had to work tirelessly to just get the ball in the inside because our outside shooting, they just basically told us, we're going to make you shoot and see what you do. And the Hoosiers are at times just either lazy or low IQ, basketball IQ, where they'll take long twos. That quick pull up by CJ from deep two that just clanged. There was 2 3-pointers that Trey Galloway took that he looked so unconvinced. I could tell that there was no way they're going to go in from the minute he pulled because he just looked like he didn't even want to shoot them, but he had to because the center was clogged. Again, I think that's on the coaches. I don't know why. Our spacing was terrible through most of the game. And so every once in a while you could tell they come out of a timeout and they spaced out. You know, there were shooters pretty far out, but no one's ready to shoot. They all look like they're waiting to get the ball to pass it again. And so I can see why the defense says, I'm going to sag. I'm going to, you know, stay in this double. This one is kind of on, I realize Woodson doesn't turn the ball over. And again, I'll go back to the 19 turnovers and 27 points off turnovers. I think it was, that's the game to me. It's not taking too few threes. It's not getting the ball in the right hands. It's not the fouls. It is about the turnovers and sloppy play, but all these little things, other things can help contribute to fix some of those problems.
Yeah. Cause I mean, even if we only had 12 turnovers and they only scored, you know, 18 points off 12 turnovers, it doesn't mean we don't win. It doesn't mean we win the game. It's a combination of the different things, different factors. So, I mean, we could have played a lot better and still lost by 2 or 3 or 4 just because it looked like it was their night. And that's just how it goes. But it appears to me that Woodson has just drilled into this team that it's such a post-oriented offense and everything runs to the post that there's only one player on the team that I feel like really comes off, really catches the ball in a shooting position, and that's Mbako.
Yeah,
I feel like every other player catches it either flat-footed or not looking to shoot because I just don't think that they're trained or told to do that, or that the coaches don't trust that, but
didn't Mbako seem to pass up a couple threes, though?
He did.
When
he came back later in the first half.
Quickly looking at the stats from the game, if you run through these stats, you're going to think, well, heck, IU might have won. Field goal shooting, IU 47.1, Nebraska 45.8. Three-point shooting, Hoosier shot at a 50% clip. Nebraska shot at a 37.5% clip. Free throws, that was a big difference. 20 of 26 for Nebraska, 13 of 19 for the Hoosiers. Rebounding, we got smoked on rebound. No, actually, we won rebounding, 36-29. Assists, 19 in the Hoosiers' favor, 15 for Nebraska. But the turnovers and the points off turnovers, that's just the difference.
And a lot of those rebounds for them were offensive rebounds because they shoot a lot of threes.
Oh, yeah,
and
they're going to get
a lot more second chances. There was one possession where we allowed them three, you know, basically two offensive rebounds, three possessions, and they end up hitting a three. When prior to that, we had played really good defense. But so, again, not excuses. These are just reasons. And it may maybe points to maybe this team is who they are. and they're not who we thought they could be. And because we've had a lot of signs up to now where, you know, we barely win a game or we struggle to overcome. But now in a league where it's extremely well scouted, extremely well coached. And so we've got to have the ability to adjust to how teams are playing us. And I think it does start with having X back in a healthy, you know, 35, 36 minutes a game, and then just try to get the flow and the chemistry back. And so, and get used to playing with him again.
Yeah. And basketball players, I will say, always seem to have a terrible short-term memories. Whereas fans, we think this game will be emblematic for the very next game. Yeah. And they might come out and just smoke Ohio State. In fact, I expect us to have a really good a game. And I think our energy and our effort will be, really good. The thing is, we knew this kind of game was in us. We saw parts of this kind of game in all the ones we just talked about with Kennesaw State and Harvard and Morehead State. But I was hoping we'd never have a full game like that. And this was as close to a full game of kind of bad IU as there could be. We had multiple, when you look at the breakdown of the scoring, there's many times where there's a 3 minute, a 4 minute, a 2 minute period where the Hoosiers just don't score. And often during the telecast, they were talking about how, oh gosh, the Nebraska hasn't scored in the last 8 shots. And I'm thinking, yeah, they've still moved ahead further.
Right.
We just never figured out how to make them uncomfortable. And to your point, if we fix a few of those little things, we cut down on some of the turnovers, we pop an extra 3 here or there, we get a steal, you start to get close to the end of the game, and it's 5 minutes to go, and it's a 4 or 5 point game. Nebraska then has the pressure. We never put them in that position. They were having a party, and
they were losing.
Tominaga was
letting
the
fly. I mean, even
the head of the party, he was enjoying it.
Even some of the circus shots he was taking, it's like nobody cared because they were like, "That's all right. We'll get it back next time."
Yeah,
or I've hit so many already. Who cares if I didn't draw iron on that one? So it. You know, whatever. At the end of the day, it was a road loss in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
We're 2-1, and we have an opportunity for a quad one win Saturday night at home against Ohio State, which I'm like you. I feel like this team, I think the crowd will be juiced. I think there'll be much more energy. I'm really glad X got run last night because I think that's going to help make things smoother when he's in the game Saturday as opposed to just getting back in the lineup Saturday. We're not going to be expected to win, but I think that's a very winnable game. It's a very winnable game. And so, you know, you win that game and then you're 3-1, you just get a quad one win and then everybody forgets about Nebraska. I told my son Foster, I said, I would rather lose on the road to Nebraska. I would rather win at home against Ohio State. If I had to pick one of those to win.
It'd be the home game.
You want to win at home and you want to win against Ohio State.
Ohio State's frankly, number 31 right now. They're ranked a bit higher than Nebraska. A road win is always big, though. If you can steal a road win in the Big Ten, it's helpful. And the Hoosiers, as we know, I mean, you start looking at the math to get into the tournament, and I still say it's a long way before you start worrying about it. But, I mean, IU needs to probably have a 11 or 12 game or a victory season in the Big Ten and win a couple in the tournament to really put themselves in a position to have be invited to the NCAA. And I hate that we're having to talk about that. And I try not to think about that too much because really you got to play game to game. And so to your point, one of the papers led today with this was a historic loss at Nebraska. Well, the worst we'd ever lost at Nebraska was 14. And so we lose by 16. Yeah. And they want to throw the historic on there to get a few extra
love that
eyes
sensationalism.
On that. Yeah. But I mean, in the end, the Hoosiers in the last 8 games against Nebraska are 7-1. It only counts as one loss. And if they can rip off the rearview mirror and move forward and play Ohio State well and get a victory, get their feet back under them, I still think that this team has talent and it has the ability to do well, but they've got to get it going. It's time. They can't have any more of these games like this. Now, we're going to lose games. Don't get me wrong. We can't lose them like this. We can't be at the point with 5 minutes to go. It's over.
Right. Yeah, it's just name the score at that point. So, yeah, so we've got an opportunity to come back and lick our wounds and regroup. I do feel like, you look at games like Kansas, and clearly games like that are going to be the outlier to this season. because we're not going to have too many of those. But that was a game that was extremely winnable. We led for 35 minutes with X in the lineup. I think we do win. So we've got another chance to win Saturday. We're going to have plenty of opportunities to win high-quality games. And I think, like I said, we just got to keep grinding, keep figuring out a way, and hopefully this team can gel. The pieces are there. I still believe that. The pieces are there, but just getting it all to come together.
And don't, at least from my point of view, you believe what you want, but I don't think people ought to keep or start jumping on this. Woody's not the guy. Woody's not a good coach. Because again, we've just talked about so many things. And I said, I think that there's some fault to be laid at the feet of the coach, but that's one piece of the game. In the end, we lost because of turnovers. We lost because of sloppy play. This team could win at Nebraska, should have had a better performance and given themselves a chance. But this narrative that quickly gets going in IU circles, always blame the coach, always be hiring the next coach mentally because the current coach is the problem. And at some point, we've got, you know, they always said, we got to get an IU guy. We got to get somebody that was from the Coach Knight tree. This is from the Coach Knight tree. What are we talking about? I mean, we have to do better in, you know, recruiting. We got to do better in the transfer portal. But in the end, we've got to do better just on the court of taking care of the ball, making free throws. They're simple things, and our team didn't do it last night.
On a lighter note, I think our main offense should be renew, lobbing it up to Ware, and Ware just flushing it with, like, in a flash. Like, it was incredible.
In fact, Greg, everybody keeps talking about taking more three-pointers. I think we should have that play 10 more times per game.
Seriously. I mean, how do you stop that? Ware has such a knack. First of all, he's got height and length, but he has such a knack for keeping the ball high and being able to finish with the ball high. And he does it so fast. Most guys would catch it, come down, not necessarily bring the ball down, but land on their feet and then make a basketball move. He catches it and just flushes it.
Yeah.
And it's so quick and it looks so easy. And it's like, how do you stop that?
Yeah. In fact, that is, and this kind of goes back to Woodson, and I'm not making a great defense for Woodson here. It's just that I think that is all silly talk. I mean, we're in the middle of a season that we still can have a good outcome. Yeah. But, I mean, that's a development. That the number of inbound plays that we have that are successful, that's a development from coaching. That play right there, that's not just like they're like, hey, I think I'll try this. That's from coaching. The increase of three-point shooting that we've gotten, everybody's been complaining about it. It's from coaching. They're getting the ball to the wings more. They're getting them down into the corner more. We're getting more shots from the outside, hopefully to open up the inside, but it's not all coming together yet. So there's still a gelling issue. But I thought that is a great development. If we can get that play run a few more times, I'll be happy. But right now, Greg, what I want to do, I want to learn something.
Let's do it.
I want to go to night school.
Welcome to class. Everybody take a seat, please. When the professor is talking, you're listening.
I'm listening.
For those of you just joining us or just, maybe didn't listen the last four podcasts, we are doing a feature called Night School in honor of Coach Robert Montgomery. Yeah, Robert.
Who dat?
Coach Bobby Knight. And, we had a full episode devoted to him and his legacy, but we thought we need to continue that. So, again, I took his coaching class my senior year at IU and have a notebook stock full of just goodies from drills, offenses, defenses, practice plans, philosophies, tactics, strategies, quotes. And tonight we're going to talk about something that might be fitting. Now, keep in mind this was a class on coaching basketball, and he talked about if you're thinking about going to coaching or teaching, he focused a lot of what he said on those factors. But this particular item is maybe resonates with some Hoosier fans because it's about stress. He said historically, stress has been at the peak of causing a myriad of problems in our society. But if you don't have stress in your life, you're not doing anything. So So what's the problem? Stress has become a cop-out, a reason for failure, an excuse. The key is to develop an attitude that becomes a positive thing. Stress gets things done. But to cope with stress, you must, one, take care of your diet, eat right. And this may resonate with some of the New Year's resolutioners that we have out there listening. Number two, get a workout, especially when you're tired, to vent the stress. So he talks about how stress derives when you're coaching. He says stress derives from your one loss record, which determines your job, by the way, and pressure from fans. He said your relationship with the fans is important, and this is something that might speak to some of our fans out there today. You must be able to understand that John Q fan is bringing to the game additional baggage from work and home. He will see your game as an outlet for those frustrations. It is your responsibility to find a way to entertain him, in other words, win. Otherwise, he and others might opt to go see a movie next time. Then you have a fan support problem. Get your players to understand that winning is a habit, but so is losing. And this is a line that I use on my own kids. The only thing more contagious than a good attitude is a bad one. And so as a coach, you have to identify, or that as a parent, you have to identify that and snuff it out and squash it. So again, these are just some things when it comes to coaching. And this goes back to fall of 1995. Lessons, tips, strategies, and insights from Coach Knight on stress.
I love it. That's some good stuff. We're learning a lot in night school.
School is dismissed.
All right, everybody. We'll be back right after this little break of sweet, sweet music. If we were a really good podcast, we'd have a commercial right in here. But guess what? We might have a brand new sponsor after the break. So
stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Hey, quiet down here in the studio audience. Come on.
Crowd goes wild.
Take it easy, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Back to your seats, ma'am.
Yes. Stop touching me there.
Sorry. Couldn't resist. Okay, we're back. Greg, these podcasts are not cheap. This equipment, what I like to call electronics, costs money. And we need sponsors, and you've brought in another sponsor. You've been hot on the sponsors this year. Who you got?
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to throw a name out here. This is not our sponsor, but this equipment, if you're judicious and
nutritious,
poignant with your timing, you can get stuff like this at Radio Shack for 50% off.
50% off.
That's not what we did, but you could. So, Alan, you know, fans are, you know, natives are a little restless, and sometimes, you know, the stress of the holidays and the year end. And the first of the year, and you got the Hoosiers not playing real well. And, you know, sometimes you just want to, like Coach Knight said, you know, you just want to blow off some steam after a tough loss. So you're in the Floyd's Knobs vicinity, and you're driving, meandering around the hills, and you're thirsty. So you're looking for a place to go, maybe a place where everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
So you're going to pull that car off of Paley Pike right in the parking lot. You're going to get out, and you're walking to Samio's.
Samio's.
Putting on your O face, going to Samio's, order a cold long neck.
29-degree beer.
Yes, sir. You got a little darts over here to your right, little air hockey over here to your left. I don't know if they had air hockey, but they should. Little ski ball, maybe.
The place would hold about 12 people, I think. I mean, yeah.
Sammy and O, there's two. Oh, no, that was one person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Samio's, you know, you go on. And you go on the night the Hoosiers are playing, and they'll give you, you know, 25 cents off your bucket of beer. They were very generous that way. Mm-hmm. And they'd have a couple black and white TVs in the corner for you to watch the grainy footage. Samio's.
All right. There you are.
Is there Samio's. A guest in our studio?
There was a sniper over there with a Nerf gun looking out of the door. Oh, it scared me.
We have an intrusion.
Yeah. But anyway, Samio's was legendary back in the day. I remember when that establishment was actually open, they'd always say that they were the police would wait outside to bust the Samio crowd. But, of course, if you're coming out of there, most of the time you're driving 0.10.
You were, because you're like, who's going to pull me over out here? I know these roads backwards and forwards. Yeah.
I was never in Samuel's. I'll just have to say I'm a loser. I'm Barney, the knobs.
Barney Fife was lurking.
Look at this. He's a daggone...
Fletcher, we're going to get him on the podcast if he doesn't...
Sniper over there. He's scaring me. Doesn't
quit messing around.
All right. Well, Greg, good on you to bring in the money, and I'm hearing something. I'm hearing... That's the mailbag.
The rustling. The mailbag's back. 2024.
What do you got in the mailbag?
New year, same great questions. I'll tell you what we got in the mailbag.
Yes, what do we got?
Silence on the set, son. So what we have is a good question. We're going back historically here. Going to pick some brains of some true Hoosier fans. We're looking at the Hoosier coaching tree. You know, we think about
Steve Cruz. Is that right?
We think about legends like Bob Knight and Tom Crean. I mean, Bob Knight and Mike Day. I mean, Bob Knight and Branch McCracken.
Yeah.
But what about prior to Branch McCracken? So, Elbert from Ramsey, Indiana.
Yeah.
Actually, he may be on the line between DePaul and Ramsey, but we'll give the nod to Ramsey. He asked a great question. He said, you know, everybody thinks about Bob Knight and all the great teams, and Branch McCracken won a couple national championships, but who was coaching at IU before Branch McCracken, and how did he do? Did he have any championships, and how long did he coach? And these are great questions. Thank you, Elbert.
Is that Randall L. Burt?
No, it's Elbert.
Okay.
It's a man near and dear to my heart, Elbert. I like to call him Uncle Eb.
Oh, nice.
So... the answer, Everett Dean.
Everett Dean. I've seen pictures of Coach Dean.
Yes, sir. Everett Dean was the coach at Indiana prior to Branch McCracken. He was there from 1924 to 1938. He had a record of 162 wins against 93 losses, a winning percentage of 63. Yeah, we'll go ahead and round that up to 64%. Three Big Ten titles. And, you know, you may be thinking, Everett Dean, that sounds familiar. His picture was always on the wall. That picture looks familiar to you, Alan.
Yep.
It was always on the wall at Salem High School.
He's from Salem.
Well, born in Livonia, but I believe he played at Salem High School. And, in fact, so he played in Indiana. He played at IU 1918 to 1921. Then he coached at Carleton, then in Indiana, then at Stanford. And his, So born in Livonia. I know you've
Livonia,
been there.
Livonia, I don't even know you.
So then he, his fondness for the local history of his native Washington County, Indiana, led him to push for the creation of the John Hay Center of Salem, Indiana, there on the square. Hmm. Everett Dean, everybody. Everett Dean, great question, Eb. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Good.
Great questions. Yeah. Keep those coming.
You. Greg, we got to get on to other things and then get out. The Hoosier women are now ranked number 14. They have, since their loss at Stanford, they've come along and had some solid victories. They're playing tonight as we speak. What's the damage?
It is damaging if you're a Wolverine fan. The Hoosiers at Assembly Hall are leading. Late in the fourth quarter, they're up 72-48 over the Michigan Wolverines. IU started the game out 15 out of 15. At one point, they were shooting 80% from the field, 70% from the three-point line.
15 for 15, that's darn near perfect.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's simultaneous with our discussion of our outside shooting woes and our offensive woes in general, but I tell you, the IU women are fun to watch, and they're good. And I saw where the Iowa game.
I'm going to be there February 22nd. It's officially in the hall.
Officially a sellout.
Going with my friend Greg, who has invited me. He's going to host me for. This is the second time I've gone to see Caitlin Clark play the Hoosiers.
There's another Greg Assembly in your hall. Life.
And
should we have him as a guest?
Yes. Yeah, he would be good. He's a Purdue fan, but loves the sports.
Oh, I think I've heard of Greg. Yeah.
Super guy. And but nonetheless, we got to watch the Hoosiers knock off Caitlin Clark last year in Assembly Hall. And anyway,
February
22nd, I think.
3rd or something, maybe?
I thought it was the 22nd, but...
Do what you
got
to do.
I got it on my schedule, so whenever it is, it is. But glad to see them playing well, and Terry Morin has that team clicking. They Scalia is starting to shoot lights out from outside. Sydney Parrish has been playing really well. She also, I think we talked about this last podcast maybe, but she announced she's going to come back for a fifth season,
yeah,
which is helpful. Got a big recruit signed up for next year already. So anyway, the future for that team looks good. And
any football updates with Coach Sig?
You know, Coach Sig has done a great job since he's arrived. They came out with the rankings from the transfer portal. It's a top 10 class out of the portal. We did have to re-recruit some of our own players that had gone into the portal, but nonetheless, he's been active and has really pulled a ton from James Madison. Yeah. To the point where they're probably not particularly happy with IU or Coach Zignetti, but that's life. I mean, players go to play for coaches, and you can see why they leave.
He's not just coaching, he's poaching. So,
and he's talking. I think that's the other thing, too. People kind of get excited that he, you know, like it or not, IU has to make some noise in the Big Ten. And I was listening to a podcast, I think it was the Crimson Cast, and Rick Bozich was the guest, and he kind of compared it a little bit to when Louisville was in the process of considering whether or not they were going to de-emphasize football and drop down to kind of what was at that time kind of class two, and then they swung for the fences, and Howard Schnellenberger was available, and they got him to come, and he put them on a path that was different than what they had been looking at before. And, you know, the rest is kind of history. Louisville has been, since that time, a pretty good football program. They've had some drop-offs occasionally due to coaching changes and things like that, but they've played in the Orange Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, and they've played in his point was they probably played in three times the number of bowls IU's played in since that time. And so sometimes you have to get a coach that's not just going to coach on the field but also going to bring some energy and some swagger.
Yeah,
and I think this guy is really kind of like that.
Maybe a smidge of crazy. You know, we've tried.
It's okay.
We've tried the gentlemanly, polite route. You know, the Terry Huppner class, just a class gentleman, class act. Tom Allen was a great guy. Kevin Wilson was a little edgy, a little arrogant, not real social. Jerry DiNardo was. Not sure what he was. He was decent at LSU, but that didn't translate to IU. So, you know, we tried Cam Cameron, who thought he knew more about football than every other coach in the history of football. That was a failure. And you know what? Why not try crazy? Why not try a little bit of crazy?
Nothing. Google me. Why don't you Google me?
Google me.
We've left Lee LEO and we've gone to Google me.
Yeah, why not?
But he has won, and I hope he continues to do so. So let's see.
Interesting about football is our schedule next year is probably tougher than this year. Yeah, we've got it's even more stacked. We don't have the East-West division, but it's not till 2 years from now we finally get away from having to play Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State in the same year. But next year we've got the two
– National champion, right?
The two teams that are playing the national championship game Monday night, Washington and Michigan, on our home schedule next year. So Washington and Michigan will be coming to Memorial Stadium, and it's going to be interesting. And I think I sent you something the other day on the number of players or coaches that have IU ties
In that game.
In that game. So 7 former Indiana football players and coaches will participate in the 2024 College Football National Championship, including Michael Penix. Thank you, loyal listener Brad, for sending me that. And so you got obviously Penix, who's just incredible to watch, so fun. And you're so happy for him, but it's like, oh, man, if he'd just been healthy at IU. And when he was healthy, he was great. When he wasn't healthy, he wasn't. But his backup, Jack Tuttle, is a backup at Michigan. So just think if Michigan's starting quarterback you know, snaps a limb or something, and then Tuttle comes in, and it's Tuttle versus Penix in the national championship game. That's just nuts.
Yeah, it is a neat thing to see an all Big Ten national championship. And, yeah.
It's great that
we're claiming them already.
Great to see the SEC go down.
I will say IU fans are the most interesting fan base I've ever seen, because you can go on, as I did yesterday. I went into the depravity zone and got on Twitter and read all the mean, nasty comments. Everybody's
the black hole.
They're lobbing grenades and they got flamethrowers. They're out there just trashing everybody. But they're also fans that are so loyal, to the point where it's just amazing. And they're embracing Penix. They embrace all kinds of players that have left IU and support them. And they'll go watch them play. You know, it's neat to see.
It's the closest thing we have to success when you follow a player like Penix, and you're like, just the 30 seconds the other night when they mentioned IU and they showed a couple still shots of him playing at IU. It's like, oh, there's our connection to national championship greatness. And whatever we can get, grab straws at, right?
Yeah. But I will say that there's a lot of fan bases that would just hate on the guy. Just despise him. And Hoosiers, there's something about the connection. And I'm not saying other teams don't have these things, but I will say, I just think it's a unique fan base. And that comes with good things and bad things. But I'd rather be here than anywhere else.
Probably just the sheer maniacal ways that we back. Because like you said, when basketball players like Luke Recker transfer, then we just give him the business every time we play him.
And, it's true.
But when football players leave, it's like, well, I don't know, it was just football anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But I bet you Eric Montrose's death recently, probably other than the fan base from North Carolina, IU's fan base probably shared more stories and sympathies and things like that than any other fan base in the country. And he never played for us.
No, I thought about that too. And you know, that was sad news to hear that he passed. I thought if he had gone to Indiana, obviously it's worked out great for him. He won a national championship and he was a very impactful person down there in Carolina. He did some radio.
Yeah, they left his seat open for this last game. They have left his seat empty in honor of his passing. And but yeah, he was well liked down there, obviously.
But if he had gone to IU and stayed in state, how much more amplified?
Oh yeah,
would his legacy be? That's just how it is in Hoosier land. If you stay loyal and you stay in state and but, you know, again, great guy, worked out for him. And
yeah, Greg, we got to look and close out here with the next three games. The Hoosiers on Saturday, January 6th, will have the Ohio State Buckeyes in Assembly Hall. We will then on Tuesday head up to Rutgers for a basketball game.
And we always play well there.
We do. I we're probably undefeated in that there. What's the name of that place?
Jersey Mike's.
Is it Jersey Mike's?
I think it's Jersey Mike's Arena.
Piscataway, right?
Yeah, we're undefeated there in 2024.
I hate when we have to go to Rutgers. And then Minnesota at home. I think we're only favored in the Minnesota game. So that's three ball games in a week. And what say you on the record coming out of that?
Where's my cheat sheet, by the way? Where's my
predictor? Ladies and gentlemen, hold. Please hold. His cheat sheet is missing. Did it get in the mailbag?
Well, I think Dang the mailbag it. Swallowed it up. That's okay. All right. Go ahead.
What's so your, many papers in the mailbag.
What's your prediction?
Well, I'm going to say that the Hoosiers will turn things around Saturday, 8 o'clock start on Fox, and win against Ohio State. I think we will lose against Rutgers, and I think we will win against Minnesota. That'll be a 2-1 record. At that point, we will be 4-2 in the Big Ten. And but I think what I really like to see, because that three game stanza will take us into the Purdue game at home on January 16th. I really want to see this team start to figure some of that stuff out, because it's time. It is time.
There's time for everything, Alan.
It is, but it just, they have pieces. they can be successful. I don't think we're as bad as the statistics say, but we've got to show it. That's all I got.
We're winning the next three, Alan.
Come on.
We're winning the next three.
You got to be kidding me. I love it. Okay, I'm going to take that to the bank.
And here's why. We're going to
doubling down on it.
We're going to come out. We're going to get some things figured out at home against Ohio State. I feel like we're going to beat Rutgers. I really do. And
sure do. I'll say that.
And then we'll carry it over to a Friday night tilt, which is unusual to have a Friday night game at Assembly Hall, but we'll be there. January 12th.
You going to be there?
Likely. Yeah, I will. Good. So, I don't know. I just feel like we're going to get some things figured out and we're going to go on a little bit of run here.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you that I still think, and I sent you something the other day to say that I thought Trey Galloway was due, and he sure tried, but he was in his head a lot in this last game. It just didn't feel like it was coming to him. And Mackenzie Mbako, I still think he is showing that he is going to, you know, by the end of the season, I think he is going to be one of the most vital parts of the team. And Renew needs to get back on track after that game yesterday. So we'll see. But, okay, 3-0, and I had 2-0, and I like your
2-1.
Oh, I'm 2-1. You're 3-0.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. I want to give some shout-outs and thank all of our loyal listeners. We've had a blast doing this. As you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. We prepare very little in terms of just, you know, we just basically turn the mics on, and this podcast originated with Alan and I going to lunch during the week and just kind of breaking down the Hoosiers. And then my wife thought it'd be a good idea for us to do a podcast. And here we are. How many seasons later?
Six.
So this is a new year. So we always look back at our breakdown the Hoosier Town breakdown statistics from Buzzsprout.
Can
I say Buzzsprout?
Sure. That's where our podcast is.
Thanks to
housed,
you.
But you can get us on any of the podcast streaming.
That's like the favorite tagline now, or wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah,
it's like everything now.
Yeah,
kind of like consult your CPA, talk to your doctor. So we were in the top
50. If it doesn't subside after 4 hours.
Oh,
keep going.
Top 50% of all Buzzsprout podcasts. That was us. We were over 1,000 downloads last year, 1,076. And this is all because of you, loyal listeners. We were listened to in 7 countries, obviously U.S. being one of those. Germany, Canada, Brazil, U.K. We had more downloads in Frankfurt, Ammenhausen.
Your accent is perfect.
What we got there?
Yeah, you said it exactly right. I think that's Matt Bartram.
Matt!
Thank you, Matt.
Coming at us from Frankfurt.
He's a Highlander.
Sunman, Indiana. Shout out to my good buddy, high school friend, and still current friend, from Sunman, Indiana. Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Had lots of downloads from Indianapolis, Indiana, and Jeffersonville, Indiana. Shout out to all you all.
Thank you, Hoosiers.
All y'all. But this is fun. This is it's probably fun for us. May not be fun for you. But we're having fun being a podcast for Hoosiers by Hoosiers. Hoosiers.
And, you know, Greg, you know what's on? Any number that's not divisible by 2. There you go. All right.
Wait, I got to think about that.
No, it's just a stupid dad joke.
I'm still, my ears are still ringing from the ball drop.
Don't let it hurt you.
Don't let it hurt you. Careful.
That's when my voice went down, the ball drop. What? Okay, anyway, listen, we're out of here. Hoosiers, thanks for joining us. Until next time. So long, everybody.
Keep it classy, Hoosiers. Keep the faith.
Meatloaf! Just want the meatloaf.
Never know what she's doing back there.
Dad.